Welcome back, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started so we can be on schedule. Couple quick things before we start. You know, we've had some good conversations with y'all. And I just want to bring up a couple that I've had that this is really what, to show what this is about. I've had a lot of conversations from people that said, you know what just amazes me is that these guys making all this money, they're having the same conversations with their brokers as I am. The amount of money you make does not change the way you do the business. You know, these are the same people you are. They're just as real as you are. You know, they just have real nice rings on their fingers. but I got that comment. And another thing that I heard a lot of, and this is also shows what this event is really for, is all you came up and said, man, you know, the seminars are great, but you know where I'm learning just a ton is sitting around with people just like me. Just they're in another part of the world, you know. But they're just like me. We're going through the same stuff. So we sat and we brainstormed, and, man, oh, I can't wait to get out of this thing. It's almost like, let's end it now. Let's go, you know. And but that's also what this is about. It's the relationships you make with people that you normally don't get a chance to. Because guess what? Next year, you guys are going to be the leaders on stage, and you're going to be your own family on stage. You know, it's great because the DSMs and Dennis and Daniel and Barry and I, we just get to sit back, and all we have to do is put you all together and let you all do all the work. You know, you have the tough job. I do want to show you one thing, and this is 99% final. I think I saw Dennis's signature on it. But we've also, you remember we told you our kind of our motto for the whole year is One Dream, One Team. This is going to be our logo for the One Dream, One Team. Okay, so you're going to see that. Yeah, you're seeing it first before anybody else. And we'll pass that around. And I got to make sure I know. Oh, you know, she'd kill me if I forgot this one. We're going to go ahead and get the afternoon session started off. And if you want to play Hail to the Queen, go right ahead. But again, Linda Rowden has been a real valuable resource as a DSM. All DSMs have different traits. Linda just has the one trait that says if you don't love her, you're gone. Okay. But we're blessed to have somebody like Linda, and I'm sure everybody from her division knows why we love her so much. But please welcome Divisional Sales Manager Linda Rowden.
Hello. Thank you, my loyal subjects. What a treat. This meeting has got to be the most exciting thing that we do within this company. It's so thrilling for us to be here with you, to see you and see you grow and develop to get here. You've been growing and developing, or you wouldn't be in this seat. But I know the growth that's going to happen to you and your business after you leave here. It's such a treat for us. These 2 days are so rewarding for us as individuals and as your DSMs. And I know that each and every one of you have gained at least one little thing that's going to take you back home and change your business, right? Right. Some of you have already told me that. Guess what? We've learned something, too. We've gained things that will help us to help you with your business. And that's so exciting for us. We are just absolutely delighted. Now, I get to talk about something today that you already know about. So, I hope I don't make any mistakes. There's a theory in the business industry that if you make money, you should reinvest it back into your business. Isn't that correct? Daniel have done a really, really good job of that. And you can see a good example of that within this building. And isn't it exciting? This building is terrific. But this building is what we call in the financial world a real asset, a hard asset, whatever. It's something that has a value and can appreciate or depreciate. We're hoping it would appreciate in value, and they can get a return on that money. So that's a real good place for them to invest some of the money, isn't it? And remember, this is your company, and they are stewards of this company for you. They've made a promise to you for lifetime residual income, so they're going to be here to fulfill that promise for you. So they are very, very, very careful about where they place their money. And I can tell you that they don't reinvest their money in spite of some of the rumors that I've heard. The reinvestment is not in salaries to the DSMs. Okay, I can guarantee you that. Some of us live just above the poverty line, so whatever. Just thought I had to throw that in there for you. But where do they invest their money? Back into you. You, the brokers in the field, you and your business. I've been here 6 years, and I have seen one promotion after another. We just barely catch our breath from one, and we've got another one coming on its heels. We can hardly get the flyers out of the building fast enough. And it is so terribly exciting. You've had such an opportunity to not only earn the upfront advances and the residual income and the builder's bonuses, but you've had great, great opportunities to win trips on the jet airplane. Remember the jet contest where they flew you into Dallas for lunch? Yeah, I mean, just everything. And so now, as we go into this year of one dream, one team, they have come up with one more promotion to get the money back to you, the brokers in the field, the brokers that are making it happen and doing the business. So I know that many of you in this room, again, know more about this than I do, because I heard yesterday you've analyzed it to death. You've made your projections. You know exactly to the penny what you're going to make off of this, right? But guess what? Maybe all of you haven't done that, so we're going to go over the rules one more time. How's that? Can you stick with me through that? Okay, together, our one dream, one team, our goal is to recruit 100,000 new brokers next year in 2005. Yeah, next year. Well, see, I'm still in December. I'm still in December. Well, we're going to do 200,000 in 2006. But this year, 2005, we're going to do 100,000 new brokers. Collectively, in January, February, and March, if we collectively enroll 8,000 new brokers in any one month, that's when it starts, okay? So in this month of January, we must collectively enroll 8,000 new brokers. If you do that, Dennis and Daniel will put $100,000 into the profit-sharing cash pool. We changed that name so many times, I was just afraid I was going to get it wrong. But I did good on that, didn't I? At the end of that month, the single broker that enrolled the most members will receive 15% of that pool. Members? I said members? It's very important. Yeah. Okay, you guys, I did not write any of this down. So I'm winging it. Well, the reason I didn't write it down is because I couldn't see it if I had it on the paper anyway without my glasses. Okay, I apologize for that. We all know it's brokers. Okay, 8,000 brokers gets $100,000 in the profit-sharing pool. Okay, they will contribute an additional $10,000 for every 1,000 brokers over that 8,000. So if you get 9,027 brokers, they'll put $110,000 in the profit-sharing pool. Everybody got that? Okay, the single broker that enrolled the most brokers will receive 15% of that pool, whatever that amount is. The number two broker gets 10%, number three broker gets 5%, number four broker gets 3%, and I think that comes up to, Brent, 33% is left, right? 67% is left. That's what I was thinking. I looked at you and I'm going, no. That's 33%. 67% will be remaining, and it will be divided among all the brokers that enrolled 10 or more brokers in that month. This is going to happen every month in the first quarter of 2005, January, February, and March. What an exciting promotion. What an opportunity for your new people to get in and not do their 6 and 4, but do their 10 and 6, right? Right. We're all terribly, terribly excited about this, and I think it's an awesome way to get our year off to a fabulous start. Is there anything I missed on this? Except how much money you're going to make off of it? Yeah, it's probably going to make an impact on your income. Al. The end of January, if you do that, it'll pay out right away in February. Okay? Now, I messed that up really well. No, I didn't, because you all knew more about it than I did. I told you you did. Now I want to talk about one more thing. 6 years I've been here. When I first came here, it was the end-all, be-all to become a national sales director, wasn't it? Y'all remember that? That was the epitome of this business. And it still is a lofty, lofty goal. And some of you haven't reached it yet, and you will, and it is so rewarding when you get there. But that's no longer the epitome. We have people that are achieving that. The President's Club, that's important. If you can make national and not be making a lot of money yet. Some of you can attest to that, right? You're getting paid like a DSM, aren't you? But it doesn't take long for you to start building that income once you reach there. And then you get that, and then you start working towards MVP, and it's just an exciting, exciting opportunity. But it is the first step to super, super, super success. And we always recognize our new nationals at convention. But today, we have so many new nationals in this room that have become national since convention that we'd like to recognize them today. That way, We don't have to do it again at convention, huh? Not. Not. We promise you, you get to walk across that stage, and we'll even let you have the microphone for a little bit, won't we? No? Not the new Nationals? No? We changed that, didn't we? Okay. You'll get your stage time. Okay. But today, I want to recognize in chronological order the Nationals that have become National Sales Directors since convention. And the very first one was on July 28th from Cleveland, Ohio, Deborah McDonald. Would you please stand, Deborah? Give her a hand. Awesome job, and I promise you, you'll get to walk across the stage, but you won't get to talk. And then, on August the 3rd, from the boroughs of New York, Deborah Petrov. Deborah. August the 12th, from West Palm Beach, Florida, Scott McCollum. Great job, Scott. From Richmond, Virginia, Lowell Farmer. That was October 15th. On October 21st, from Portland, Oregon, Al Friesen. November 23rd, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Jim Martinez. Back in the corner. On December the 8th, from Newark, New Jersey, Ali Yassin. Yeah. December 22nd, San Antonio, Texas, Al Sacedo. Yeah. And I believe, Al, would you please come down here? Isn't that beautiful? Congratulations, Al. That's cute. And December 23rd, from Detroit, Michigan, Darcel McCoy. Darcel, would you come here? And last, but not least, on December 31st, from Portland, Oregon, John Rogers. John, come on down. See how they are? They become a national. Congratulations to all of you. And I want to tell you this. It's a great goal that you've achieved. But you think it was hard work getting here? Your hard work has only just begun. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. And in Ameriplan Corporate, we have something called a career development meeting. Throwing your boss under the bus for promising speaking at the convention is a career development meeting, Linda. We'll remember that. Thank you. Brent's the bad guy. No, but where? Yeah, you can. Thanks, Jim. You know what? I think I really need to be on the other side of this business. Oh, yeah, we have fun, guys, don't we? But the next speaker, we have a lot of new things happening internet-wise, ICP, broker support site. And for a long time, it was just kind of everybody around the company telling IT, do this, do this, do this. And there was, like, I mean, they were coming from 18,000 different directions. There's no organization whatsoever. And it was a mess. It was a big mess. I don't know if you all have seen broker support lately, but hadn't that improved a ton? Well, a lot of what's happening, most of what's happening, is all because of one man. One man who took over trying to filter it all through him and trying to make things right for you online with ICP and with broker support. We got lucky because he's a consultant. I call him a no-benefit employee because he's here every day and has his own office. And he's been with us, oh my God. 3.5-4 years? Yeah, a 4-year consultant. Where can I get that gig? Yeah. But yeah. No. The one less thing I need to worry about. But he's been invaluable in this role, and I think the role is the Ameriplan Internet, whatever you want to call it, guru. But he has some stuff to show you for the future and the near future, and it's exciting stuff. Please welcome John Hammack.
All right. Let's just in case. Okay. That was really exciting seeing all the nationals here. That many new nationals in the span of 6 months. I couldn't remember back days when I was in the field, and I just got to tell you, it really touched me. And to see the new ones get their plaques here today, anyway, that was really, really exciting. I think some of y'all are probably more adept at the internet than I am, and so I would not call myself the internet guru. I will say that we do try to listen to y'all's input from the field, and there's been several things that I can show directly that have come from the field that never came from corporate, and I'd like to give you some examples of that and then move forward to where we're trying to push. And then with you guys being the leaders of tomorrow, again, it's the same open invitation to help give us some direction. And I can't promise that everything is going to be adhered to, but we certainly are listening, and we're certainly going to try to apply the things that will give you advantages out in the field. Can you go on? All right. This is probably the first example. Do you all remember the old Delivering on the Promise website and how it looks? And so now, if you were to send a prospect to this site, there's a little more excitement to it. They might stick here, and they might want to go in and look in about saving money or making money and you know, giving a picture here and stuff. To give you the example of something that came directly from the field, this used to be a black background. And a broker sent in an email to us and said that it loaded black first before this image of the webpage came up, and that it was very disconcerting. And so she was scared people might have gone on and jumped off the site because they didn't like that black. And so we needed something a little easier on the eyes that would cause them to maybe stick longer and wait for the page to load. So I just want to give you that directly came from the field. As you know, you have an option here, and these are going to take you to your ICP sites. One of the questions that maybe has come up is, how many of you here do not know what ICP Plus is? Do not know what ICP Plus. Can I get a show of hands? Okay, so very few. Okay, then I wanted to make sure that you guys left here and knew exactly what that was. Okay. All right. What then? They're if you were a subscriber to ICP Plus. All right. Let's get a show of hands. How many of you are ICP Plus subscribers? That's better. Yeah, that's better. All right. ICP. Yeah, exactly. ICP, we're not going to, this isn't a test. All right, ICP Plus was really, we had, there was a vendor that, SMG, if you remember that, and SMG was selling, they were an approved vendor, and they were selling sites to the field, to the brokers directly. SMG decided they wanted to get out of that, and because we had gotten, again, input from the field about how successful their flash videos were, that we did not want to let those sites die. And so the company agreed to buy the sites and to put them up. And so the first one is probably everyonebenefits.com. And that's this. And so those sites sort of sat there dormant, just supplying the old original SMG subscribers. And we just renamed it from the SMG sites to ICP Plus. Well, since then, we've tried to rework these, and if you are familiar with them, then you'll be aware that we've got a new, what we call this media center, where we've taken all of the existing videos, in this case relative to saving money, and we've actually converted them into flash, and we give your prospects the option of playing those. Just hit play, if you could, Connie, and just give an example.
Hit play.
People can't afford insurance.
So this is the old video that you can remember.
And we're not talking about...
Now, let's go on and click here. Connie, why do you need dental care? And that's the old flash video that was originally up. And again, the field gave us some input. Go on and stop that one, Connie. Just the field gave us some input because this message here was a negative message. It was really trying to scare you into becoming a member. And it was not a really positive message that you were delivering. So again, from the field's input, we decided they didn't want to lose that message. It's almost like that message was there. If you're not going to be, if you choose not to take a membership with Ameriplan, then you really need to play this. That's, you know, it's almost like if you're not going to do it, that then before you leave the site, you need to listen to this message and reconsider your decision. But I just wanted to give you an example of where the field, we're taking input and we're making changes, and this will be an example. The same thing we can show you on My Home Business Pays. And by the way, Mark, these are your sites, in case, just to let you know.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
We use these a lot.
Yeah. So since then, you know, we now lead off with the What If video. You know, the latest video off the DVD, it's converted into flash. And the reason why, if you'll remember, on the current ICP sites, we're streaming those videos. Well, there's actually more, the software that it takes to play flash is significantly more oftentimes loaded on your prospect computers than Real Player or Windows Media Player and things like that. So we're using the medium that has the biggest acceptance. So it's the easiest to get your prospects in and to play. Granted, if they're on a dial-up connection, that this is going to drag, and it's going to take a little while loading and stuff. But for the broadband prospects, this is going to be the easiest, fastest way to get them up. We still, you know, we've put all the things relative to making money here, that any videos that we've got, so you can take your prospects to the, if you are an ICP Plus subscriber, and you were talking to somebody on the phone, then you could take them to your ICP Plus, your My Home Business Pay site, and talk them through and give them these presentations. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew what ICP Plus was, and what from the learning that we've had since we've made these changes, we're considering a new direction. And Brent has asked me to expose that. So again, we can start creating some more input and things. And what we're working on is a new version of ICP. Yes, sir?
What's the cost to subscribe to ICP?
An additional, it's $15. Yes, sir. So it's going to be 20, I mean, if you did, that's right, we knocked it down this lately. So it's $25 total. It's an additional $10 to your ICP subscription. So it's $15 for ICP, an additional $10 for ICP Plus.
$25 total.
And I thought probably, Scott, I know that you use ICP Plus, don't you? Yeah. Why don't you just kind of share how you use the site and just kind of give some input to stimulate some thoughts to the rest of the people here.
Well, what I like about the site is the change that you've made on the media page right here, the videos being right there all together. And... Right, it's faster, it seems, and You know, I use autoresponders, and I don't, you know, I blast out using a True Team system, but once I'm talking with the prospect and everything, I like to get them on this site right here and let them take a look at the videos and stuff right there.
So you use this site a lot? You're directing your traffic?
Quite a bit, I do. I don't direct traffic to that. I use the True Team site.
Okay.
But I do use it, you know, as a second, you know.
As a follow-up?
Right.
Okay. If they sign up online, then he gets an option to sign up for ICP Plus. But I can tell you this, to be honest with you, Brad, we have never really full-fledged gone out and promoted this. Right. And quite frankly, it's because things were changing so fast, and we spent our development times making sure that the ICP was up, and the number of the SMG subscribers was always dwindling. Be honest with you, and how many resources do we have, effectively?
Save your questions till the end of the presentation. Yeah. It's a lot easier, what I call non-factor questions when you get through this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We won't even, they're not even.
Okay. There. I just want to give you an exposure, which is, Brent's giving me the perfect lead in. Let's go ahead and bring this down, Connie. And I wanted to show you kind of what we're thinking about to the future. Okay, and if you saw this, there's a flash template the way it loaded up. Go on and take it down one more time, Connie, because it's no, I don't think it's going to reload. I think you're going to have to kill it. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Exit, excuse me. But it's going to load like that, where the graphics are going to float in. There's a little sound behind it, as you can see, that there's a video that we need to. But anyway, roll over here. So the tabs are now going to be flashed, you can see. So it's going to have a little neater, you know, and hopefully we're going to increase the stickiness to the site, that people are going to, it's going to want them to move around and look at things and see. We got a lot of positive feedback relative to the media center, and we're still playing around with what is the best way of delivering the videos and emphasizing that. And just to let you know, this is something that you, if you have some input or some thoughts about this, please pass it on to us. But we've got tabs at the top. I think Scott said this, and he didn't say it today, but he's told me this in the past, and I've heard this many, many times. The thing that they really liked about ICP Plus was the easy navigation with the tabs at top, and it was real easy for a prospect to get around. So we're going back and really trying to highlight those tabs with the flash. But we don't want to get away with the icons as well. Sometimes, you know, a little picture here can get a little more attention than just tabs. So we're going to be playing around with what are we going to use for tabs, what are we going to use for icons on the side. It's obviously going to be full e-commerce enabled. We're really trying to highlight the alliances that we have, you know, sort of some third-party credibility with DSA, Better Business Bureau, D&B, things like that. So it's really not a premium spot, but it's not going to be ignored and pushed down to the very bottom. So we want to make sure that we're highlighting our positives there. So we just want to really, really give you a picture that we are moving forward, and we're taking, the bottom line is this, is that our goal is to take the benefits of ICP Plus and the e-commerce of ICP 2.0 and sort of merge those together and come out with an ICP 3.0. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're gonna. So, in response, Brad, to your point is we want to make just one option. So it's really simple. You don't need to and don't explain to the prospect you can get this for this, but you know you might want to get this, and I use this, but somebody doesn't. And we just want to really give them one option. They're either in. They either want to take the advantages of the internet or they don't. And if so, we're merging in all the benefit, all the positive things that we've experienced over the last 3.5 years since ICP first came out, which is Internet Commerce Package, in case you didn't know what ICP was. But it's really not, I don't think this is the appropriate forum for questions per se, because you can see this is something we're just moving into, but we're trying to take a look and feel that's more consistent with broker support, a look and feel that we first put in action with the new Delivering on the Promise, and give it its own look and feel different from the corporate site. because, you know, we recognize that there is a difference. You are our joint venture partners, if you will, and how you promote and your business may be a little different than where we're trying to place ourselves from a corporate position on the web. And we've learned that a little bit, so you can see this is a really completely new look and feel to it compared to the corporate site, where it used to be ICP. We tried to marry the two as best as we could. And I think now we've learned that being able to distinguish between the two has some real advantages for you, the field. So with Brent, I think that's all I've got to say. You bet.
Somebody stole my mic. Yeah. We're gonna ransom.
You're taking it to convention.
I know. I'm trying to get it all done.
Right, Brent. It's probably appropriate to say we're shooting for March on this website.
It's got it. All right, now we're back. All right, time for the break. No, actually, when John Hammock showed us those sites, you know, again, our minds were so used to, we have ICP and we have separate sites. But what happens if we mix the two and keep it the $15 a month? That's pretty powerful. That's pretty cool. Great job, John. Thank you. Okay, the next topic. Since at least for the second, I'm the boss right now, I get to change things. Yes. Did I say feedback? He lied. John, if they want feedback. Yeah, you trust us, right? No, what we're doing is Monday morning. In the morning, we're having a meeting. We're going over all the SMG sites and seeing what's good about them and trying to take all the good stuff and integrate it into this new thing that they call ICP. I'm sure there will be many brokers that are going to be looking at these before we launch for their input, but we're not there yet. We're still trying to create the initial monster, okay? I called it a monster. It's just awful. You know, the next subject, it's kind of a real important one, but it's kind of a touchy one, okay? It's a very touchy subject, and it's a consistent meeting system. It's a successful meeting system. I'm going to do this a little differently than I had first planned. You know, I thought about some things, and you guys just say yes or no. Would you consider a business briefing in the middle of December that brings out about 170, 180 people with a ton of guests, a pretty successful normal weekly meeting? How many markets did that in December? One meeting, 170, 180 people. Between Christmas and New Year's. Was that successful? Well, we had one market that did that. Houston, Texas. That is not to say Houston is an end-all. Houston learns every day. But as far as around the country, the most successful meetings we have right now are in Houston with the excitement and the numbers of people and the guests. And while I'm talking about a consistent and successful meeting system, I'm going to need some help. Mark, can you come up here? I appreciate that. And this is...
It's a lot better than the base shop call. I can...
Yeah, because Mark's not doing the meetings in Houston. No.
Me and my two brokers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I want to stress right from the top that about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, Dennis and Daniel sat, the DSMs and myself, in an office, and they said, you know what, we're not going to dictate corporately how they run a meeting. We want them on the right track, but we're not going to say, do this, do this, do this, do this, or we're closing the office. See, we used to do that. I mean, we used to say, here's how you do it. You do not stray. If you want to stray, go get a hotel meeting on your own and you pay for it, because we're paying for the offices. 2.5 years ago, they kind of said, you know what, that probably not the way to do it. Okay, so 2.5 years ago, we said, okay, guys, you're on your own to do these, but, you know, here's some stuff we'd like that, you know, we think's kind of important, kind of not stray. Don't start promoting Excel during the middle of an Ameriplan meeting. You know, just kind of keep it Ameriplan.
And that's happened, by the way. Right?
Actually, that has happened before. shocking as it is. But there's not a corporate system. So, you know, Houston's doing a meeting system, and Mark, you guys have your own way of doing it, and we're not telling you how to do it, but why do you feel real comfortable and real confident about the meeting system you use?
Well, the thing that in order to, I believe, have a successful anything that involves leadership, okay, you have to have what I call a purpose in what you do. And and you have to have some order to what that purpose is. And because we mix organizations around here, in every single office you have a influx of people with their own ideas, their own opinions on what they think they should have. So what we have to do first and foremost is obviously we got to know what we're trying to accomplish. And there's got to be some, you got to have leadership there to kind of take that into consideration. And the challenge that most people have is it's who's the chief? I mean, who's going to run the show in these meeting systems? And I look at what we have in Houston as a great way of teaching people how to lead, because the way you do that is to teach them how to follow, and you teach them how to come under authority of the order. So what we do in Houston is, you know, the order of things is that everybody is subject to the authority of the meeting system. Everybody, myself, it doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year or if you're a brand new regional sales director. We all know that we come under the authority of the meeting system itself. So, you know, the meeting system isn't an entity by itself. And so, you know, we purposely make sure, I mean, we work at keeping that in under the authority of the company, of Dennis and Daniel, which is the DSMs and everything like that. So even though there's not a corporate, even though corporate says do it this way or no way, doesn't mean we have the free reins to do it anyway. There's not, at any given time, we never make a change that we're not totally aligned and discussing it with corporate. Corporate always knows what we're doing. There's never going to be a call that comes in from Houston, Texas, that surprises, Brent or Jim, or Dennis or Daniel.
So Mark, I guess what you're saying is it's not the Mark Jarvis system, or it's not the Brad Murray system, or the Dale Brooks system, or the Garvey system. It's kind of the, I hate to say it, but it's almost like the system, and you're asking your leaders to believe in that, not in you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Some of the hardest things about that, you know, is I'm a newer up-and-coming broker, and you're asking me to do this stuff, and you give me criticism. You know, what makes me feel good about the criticism instead of saying, you know, that Mark, he thinks he knows everything? I mean, what makes me not hurt?
To start with, we have kind of these are the things that we're trying to accomplish. If you're like, for example, and it's not just the presenters. You see, part of that successful meeting system, everybody looks at the meeting system as the presenters itself. And I can tell you, it's kind of like it just works out that way. People say, oh, that Mark Jarvis recruiting calls on Monday night. Well, it ain't. You know, I mean, every now and then I'm involved in that call. You know, so it's the President Club's recruiting call. That's what it is. Okay, and the only reason that recruiting call is effective is because we have decided as a team to team up, and you know, and a call is kind of is a, what we do on that Monday call is a mirror of how our meetings run. It is consistent. You know the message every single time you plug in. The format's the same. I mean, what we cover is the same. It may have a few words here and there, but the message is always the same. So what happens is that as we get our leaders and our team together about what is the meeting system, we always understand there's an accountability to that, so that if I don't come up and say, you know, Twyla, listen, you really didn't do a good job speaking tonight in the meeting system, or I don't do that to Gail because they're in Houston, or Shauna. Instead, it's like, hey, here's what we need to work on to get to stay focused on what the system is. And really, that was kind of how it was in the beginning. Today, it has been so consistent for so long that, I mean, it's a rarity, okay, when we have to bring stuff into correction. But for a long time, a lot of correction needed to be taken place.
Okay, I want everybody, because there's a good point out of this that I'm getting out of this. For those that have their meeting system at an office or at a hotel or wherever you do your meeting system, you have to be accountable to the system. If somebody says, okay, you know, hey, we need to move this way and we were moving this way, it's criticism from the system. And the reason it doesn't sting is because I already have my full belief in the system. It's not coming from Mark. You know, it's not me thinking, oh, he's just egotistical, he wants me to do it his way. I already had the belief in the system, and that's where the constructive criticism is coming from. So I'm going to adjust to, because I believe in the system. Is that correct?
Yes, and I want to make a point on that, is that, as leaders, okay, the best way to teach, get your leaders in a group to follow the system is that you follow the system. I'll give you an example. Is that, we come together as a team and we know that, you know, you're part of that event, maybe 30 seconds. But what happens in Houston is that people do they enthusiastically give their best 30 seconds. And I'll give you an example is that, you know, there's different times, bless you. There's different times that I will bless you. Is that, bless you, honey. but there are different times in, for example, the first 3 months of the year in Houston. One of the things that we did, and obviously it's been, you know, the visible leaders there, is we pulled ourselves out of, you know, closing the meeting and stuff like that for a while. And the reason that we did it is we wanted to be an example of being excited to participate in whatever role, whatever play is designed for us that day. And I think Gail and anybody here from Houston will tell you that I make sure that I come under the authority of the meeting system. In other words, if what I'm called to do that day is to give my testimony, I don't separate MVPs from NSDs. And the reason I don't is that, you know, to me, it's just in our local meeting system, for us, it's a bad example. Okay, what I want to do is I want to come in, and when I'm doing the testimony, I will stand up, and I'll do probably the shortest NSD testimony of all of our NSDs. And I purposely do that just to keep people focused that I am under the authority. Just because I make $1 million a year doesn't give me the right to say, hey, I know we're on the time stage, if I got something to say. See, I don't have the right, okay? And I do not have the freedom to buck what the system is. Okay, at $1 million a year, I haven't earned that right. Okay, because the reason is the bigger cause is the meeting system itself. So I mean, I love getting up there and being an example of, my name is Martin Jarvis, and a few years ago I was sitting looking for something special and started my Maryplane business on a part-time basis, and after 9 months went full-time, and 9 months later was at $100,000 a year, and today we make $1 million a year, and we're excited it can happen for you. Boom, gone. Nothing more. That's as long as you'll ever see us do a testimony. So we don't buck the system.
Okay. You know, we're going to be getting into the system and what they use in Houston here in a second, but, you know, the system doesn't just begin with the open and the welcome. You know, I'm thinking in Houston the system begins beforehand, and obviously you need guests, right? We'll tackle that one near the end of this, that, you know, we got to have the guests there. But in your meeting system in Houston, the before the meeting, what happens
And
there?
I'll give you an example. I guess it was probably about a month. It might have been about a month ago, but, maybe a little bit longer than that. But, you know, we're before the meeting ever starts. And there's this guy, and he's hanging around a little bit, and he goes, hey, I got to tell you something. Now, he did not know, my income level, but what he noticed is we was out there, hey, how you doing? Is this your first time here? Because we identify that kind of guest with different color badges, name tags. The guest enrolled on this side of the table, and the broker's over here. So, hey, is this your first time here? Man, we're so glad to have you here. Man, it's my pleasure. Just make yourself at home. And if they say, yeah, so-and-so invited me, oh, is that right? Well, I tell you what, they are so awesome. You know, boy, they are really neat people. And that's so, well, we just welcome you here with open arms. And we create this atmosphere. And this guy came up, and he goes, I'm not even sure what you're doing here, but what's going on here? This is, we have not introduced a speaker yet. Okay, this is before the meeting. He goes, what is going on here is so special. You can just feel it. You can feel it in the room. And he goes, and I just know I want to be a part of this thing. Okay, before a speaker ever happens, see, I believe that the success of the meeting happens long before we ever do a presentation. And what we focus on, we know that about the atmosphere when they walk into that room in Houston, Texas. So what we do is we don't slow down the momentum with a long, boring bunch of information, okay? We don't bore people out of being excited because they're already excited before the meeting starts. So, but we do that. I mean, you walk in the room, and we're all so excited to see each other. And the reason is that the egos don't get involved because, we're all answered to the same thing. You know, we're not, it's not, well, who's in charge here? Well, okay, Mark's not here, and Tracy's not here. So-and-so's in charge this week. No, see, it's a team. Everybody is equal. I mean, obviously, we have people that are, leaders that if something's not going on, there's accountability. But they're not, it's not accountable to them. It's accountable to the system. Here you go. Here's how we can follow this a little bit better.
Okay. You know, I guess what you're saying is what makes it, if you're not there in Houston, that they're not looking for a chief. I mean, isn't there some tough stuff that, I mean, people have to take charge, or is it stuff that everybody can just get up and do and not kind of cross and fight?
No, I mean, somebody has got to be, a person that takes charge of following, not telling. Somebody's got to take charge of the following process. In other words, not somebody needs to take charge and tell everybody what to do. Somebody needs to take charge and lead the following. And that person, okay, has to come under the strictest of the following process. I mean, if you're the leader, you have less leeway in that market to ever get off than somebody that's up and coming. I got less leeway. I got less freedom in the example of following than somebody that's just new and learning this thing.
Right. Okay, I just want to see this because I remember it wasn't but a year ago that I came down to Houston and saw your meeting system, and I knew what it was going to be. It wasn't going to be used for video. Now I go down there and you're using the video. What changed? What made you change the system?
What made
or not change, but tweak.
Well, what made us tweak the system is that we come out with the medical plan, and they sent the company sent out the DVD, and they said we would like you. We sent down this DVD to play it. So, and I was like, sometimes you got to, one thing that you got to know is that when you break the huddle, you got to believe in the leadership. When you huddle up with different ideas and different opinions, when you break the huddle, not you got to say that you do, but you got to believe in the leadership. So what we got together in, Brent and Jim and Dennis, they're like, we'd like to do this video. We know that y'all don't do videos. We come under the authority of what the company does. So the reason that we have not, that we are still using the video, just at the product side that you see here, is because that's what, who's going to make the decision to not do it? The meeting system has to. Now, obviously, but as far as I know, unless things have changed, that's kind of what you guys suggest that we do. It's what you know that we do. And just on any given day we show up, we don't change things because nobody's good enough.
Did it bog down your system?
No, it didn't.
And is that, do you think that's more because of whatever the system, you have the belief of everybody and they're still excited about it?
We got the belief. We don't have everybody trying to change it because, see, we got confidence in our system. We got confidence that when people come in there, they are, I mean, you cannot get in the environment of the Houston market and stay plugged in and not win. It's as simple as that. Because you come in our environment, you know, and you're going to believe in everything that we do, and you're going to know it works because it's working all around you.
Okay, I'm really curious because that's powerful. And for those in Houston, you know what he's talking about.
Exactly.
You live it every week.
You might ask them. Because,
but for those who aren't in Houston, they want to know, what is the system, Mark?
Tell them, Brent.
I will. If you want me to, I'll do it right now.
I'll tell you what we do.
Get out your pens and papers.
What we do, and I understand, it's not so much the act of what we do. It's the spirit behind it. I mean, and I got to share this with you because, I go into other markets. See, when we do training there, man, I mean, it's so easy to train in Houston. I don't know how to word this, but I'll just kind of tell it like it is that we go to other markets and we train through knowledge because everything is knowledge driven. But you see, we can stick anybody in front of the meeting in Houston, and it's like they train in the spirit, so it comes out the same way every time. I mean, it just comes out the same way every time because the spirit of the meeting carries that speaker. So what we do is, we understand that people don't join the product and the company. It's important that it's been given credibility, right? They don't join the commission. How many of y'all were looking to sell a dental plan when you got in? Okay, but you got, because you got sold the dream of a Ameriplan plan, so that's why you wind up selling a dental plan, right? So we know that about our prospect coming in. They also don't, how many of y'all join strictly because the 10% on the second level? People don't join compensation plans. You see, what we realize, have come to the understanding in Houston, is what people join is us. They join us in our vision of what we're following. So what we want to do is, we don't want to get bogged down on the things that people don't join to start with. So we show the video, and then we come up, we have somebody come up and they introduce the video, and they start out with their story. They start out, the reason we didn't use the video to start with is we wanted to build a personal relationship. It's all about, our speakers, the environment. We're creating a relationship with our guest, okay? So when somebody's talking and we're all supportive and we're all there with them, it's a relationship building process in that first part of the meeting when we're covering the product. So we show the video, they come in and they share, after they've shared their personal story, they come and say, hi, I'm Jane Smith, and I've been in business. I'm a senior regional sales director, and they share just kind of their testimony. And boy, when you see what we're going to do tonight, you know you're going to be just as excited as everybody else around you. And you know, make sure you turn your cell phones off, because you know, you don't want to miss a thing. We do the house cleaning stuff. And man, here's what I do. I'm a baker down at the donut shop. Okay. And I've gotten involved in this business. We're excited about, I'm a senior. I'm going to national. And we want to talk to you a little bit about the company. But to start off, we're going to show you a little clip about what our product's about. We show the clip, and then afterwards we make some sense. Hey, what this thing really is, it's a discount fee for service plan. The great part about that is it's low cost, all pre-existing conditions, no waiting period. A few things about it, we could talk about it all day long. Let's talk to some of the people saving money. And we'll do some representation. Now, we got such a big crowd in Houston that we'll do about eight. Everybody stands up, but we'll do about eight testimonies or so. And we'll say, y'all get the picture. People are saving money. If y'all would, please sit down, okay? Because we don't want to slow the meeting down with 20 testimonies. And then we said, boy, I tell you what, to share about making, y'all came here to make money, to share that with you. We got somebody just doing a phenomenal job in this company. I tell you what, they're just bouncing off the wall with excitement. And we edify them, then we bring them up, and they start out by building a personal relationship with their story. Hey, I got involved in the company, and here's where we're at. So they relate to the people, and then they turn around, and on the whiteboard, they draw up the compensation plan.
All right. One of the things up to that point, and one of the things I've seen that back inside so many different ways. I've seen them to where they didn't do any whiteboard; they just used the back end video. I've seen some where they gave calculus on how our compensation plan works. What is your opinion of, how do you really show them what the money is?
Well, it's a really difficult. We come out here and say we're going to be talking to you about a business plan, okay, that can basically bring you $100,000 a year in 2 to 4 years, okay? Now, we get paid in this company. In Ameriplan, you're going to earn between 20 and 30% commission on all of your personal production. Now, we've got two different plans. We got a $19.95 plan. Okay, and we've got a $59.95 plan. As an example, if you went out and enrolled, because we got the medical, okay? As an example, if you went out and wrote a medical plan, not medical plan, but whatever it is we got.
Okay? Mara, where's Sherry Shepherd when we need her?
You went out and wrote a doctor deal. You'd earn $100 commission on the front end. You want to make $1,000, you enroll 10 of them. And then after that point, you'd make about $12 a month in commissions. Okay? Now, to get started on a broker, to earn these commissions, you can be in business for yourself for as little as $35. Okay? But, the key to being successful and being on that track is to get into our management system, and that is regional sales director. And you do that by enrolling six of these and obviously having four business partners. Now, when you do that, you're going to earn commissions of somewhere, around $500 to maybe $1,000 in your first few weeks of doing this, okay? And, some of our people will write the life vested contract, LVC on here or whatever. But then we'll say now, to move up in management, you need three of these. When you have three people do the same thing, you'll become a senior regional sales director. And instead of being $500 to $1,000 on your way, then that's kind of what you're looking at in residual income as far as override income. Now, how you move up to the ladder is you develop three of these, and you become a national sales director. Where'd that 100 grand go? Okay, we got to do a lot smaller than that, obviously. And we say, now, when you do that, that's the top position in the company, okay? And the reason you want to do that is we got about 250 people at that position, and the average income for that position is, I would be pointing to the 100 grand here. And then that's it.
Okay, you didn't show a lot of advances, just the $100.
Well, we don't talk about the commissions on the 35 because it doesn't get you anything. I mean, as far as in the picture. So we paint more of the picture into working up a RSD, okay, the senior, to talking about, you know, three of these, and three of these is NSD. We got about 250 of them with the average income of 100K a year. So we paint the picture of success and say, hey, there's all kinds of, obviously, you can work out schematics on what you can do financially, but let's talk to you about real life. We want to see all of our regional sales directors. If you're a regional sales director, please stand up. Boom, and we do our testimonies, and the testimonies are, hey, Mike Jarvis, carpenter by trade. I made right at $1,000 on the way to RSD. You know, next one, I made $750 on the way to RSD. Next one, $500 on the way to RSD. And we'll go through about, you know, 8 to 10 of them testimonies and say, you know, you're getting a picture here that this is consistent with what we drew on the board, right? So for the sake of time, okay, what we like to do, just tell your name and occupation for the rest of you so we can move through. And then we bam, 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 bam. Clap, 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 clap. Energy, 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 energy. And then we do the same thing at senior, and then we bring our NSDs up, and our NSDs do their testimony.
And what's the difference between a NSD testimony and, let's say, a senior exec or senior RT testimony?
You know, a senior regional sales director is going to do a testimony something like, hey, you know, man, it's Mike Jarvis on the way to RSD. I made about $800. I got excited. Now I'm senior, and I'm all, you know, on the way to national sales director. Clap, clap, clap. A national sales director is going to get up, and I'll use, I use Nancy Harrison's as an example. Is that, hey, when I came into this business, I was working for corporate America, and got into Ameriplan, and after about 6 months, I was able to leave my corporate job. And about 6 months, I was able to buy a car, and man, that felt good. And then about 3 months later, I was able to leave my corporate job, and man, that felt even better. That felt good. But because of Ameriplan, of what I've learned and what I've earned, I feel good all the time. Boom.
So it's not like 5 minutes long.
No, it's not. And it's never, ever, 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 ever. Here's what you have to do to be successful. And it's never, ever, ever, you need to take a look at this company. They're already there. They're already here. They are looking. They are looking, or they wouldn't be sitting there. Okay? It is, we never do closing statements to testimonies. And everybody adheres to that. Everybody. Our NSDs are just phenomenal. I mean, it's, when we get off track and kind of freak out, you know, when you put things into perspective, it's a bad meeting in Houston. It's just so awesome. I mean, it's just so awesome because, we're perfectionists because we know what can happen. And, the thing about it is people know when they mess up. So what we do with people, and then we have the close, and for a while there at the first of the year, we didn't do a close for about 3 months, working other people into the close, and then we get into this thing where some of the people, why don't I do the close, and then we kind of brought it back a little. You always have to kind of bring things back in a little bit because it got to going, and then if you don't have your finger on the pulse all the time, not about correcting people and being the boss, but if you're not conscious of what are we accomplishing in our meeting, are we hitting the excitement levels at the end of the meeting? Is there a buzz? If you go a week or two and there's not that buzz, then you know you need to make some tweaks. And that's what we do, is we are always got our finger on the pulse. And yeah, we'll have some things slip through the cracks. But we'll talk to people that, you know, we'll mix up the clothes. I can promise you this, you can take any 10 people out of that Houston meeting, any 10. It doesn't matter who they are, and you can ship them out of town, and I guarantee you that meeting's going to rock. Because the people that you call up, I did this to Wendy Hyman. She moved there from Atlanta, Alabama. And Wendy, really hadn't been involved in doing stuff a lot. And, I called Wendy, and I said, listen, we didn't have a national sales director going to be there to kind of spearhead things up. I said, Wendy, I called her up from your house, Dale. We were staying with Dell and Don. I said, listen, we're not going to get back in town. You know, Al Leanne's gone. Fatima's gone. Shelly's gone. We start listening to all these people are gone. I said, hey, you know, I left a message earlier about making sure you do the back end of the meeting. Trace should be there and stuff. Then I said, and I left her another message. She's going to do all of it. And I said, did you get my message? Oh, sure, not a problem at all. And I started, did you get my second message? She goes, no, I didn't. Second message, she said, I got your first one. I said, the second message, we joke around and have a lot of fun. She said, I don't believe you. I'm really serious, Wendy. I said, want you to basically coordinate everything. We also get people, because we got the people there, you know, we get a lot of people involved in a Saturday morning, counting the PR meeting and the training. You know, you'll see anywhere between 8 and 11 people involved in the program. But see, but because we're so focused on what we do, you know, you got to coach people, okay, on, hey, here's what, you know, what we want. In fact, we had the national sales directors at our house one night, and I wrote down, I said, here's what I want you to do. Okay, here's what we ask for, and we call you, and you come up on stage, and we say, hey, I want you to talk about the importance of, I don't know what it was, maybe closing out or something. And so we just assumed everybody knew what that was. Yes, we started getting different answers. So now what would you go up and do up front? So you got to make sure people know what you expect when you say a certain phrase. And anyway, Wendy got up there, and I think Shauna, you said it was one of the best meetings you've ever been to. Okay, she got people involved. So we always got to get people involved. Can't make it about the personality. It's got to be about the authority of the system.
Okay, you know, because we're on a time constraint here. I got about two or three key questions that, you know, just have to come out. We hear all the time up here at corporate, oh, you know, I'm just the only leader here. Nobody else can do the meeting. And then a year passes and we get the same call. I'm still the only leader here. Nobody can do a meeting. Why do you have so many people?
I gotta share with you. I'm gonna share with you a couple stories, quick stories on that. One of them was at one time, I did a meeting. Dennis was my sponsor. Okay, and I'm doing this presentation, and first I'm kind of nervous. Well, then I get the rocket, man. I think, boy, I am going. I was like, man, I never knew I could do this so good. And I'm in the middle of doing it, and Dennis just stands up and goes, just stop it. Now, Dennis has learned a lot about leadership development since then, too. Because I'm sorry, I can't take any more. He goes, can you sit down? I'm like, man, I was hurt. I was like, it was so bad. And I look back now, it was like, oh, man, it was horrible. And I remember when I went to Atlanta getting, Tracy and Joe involved, okay? And I got to tell you, I almost had a triple heart attack while we were going through the process of Joe becoming a leader. I'd say, God, just send me somebody that I can work with. That's it. No, so here's who God sent me. So God sent me Evelyn Walker. So Evelyn Walker, man, she's sharp. She can do this. Yo, Joe, get up there and just, you got Joe, he get up there and just, it wouldn't be anything close to what we just discussed. Okay. We go round and round, and it was just a process of learning. You know, I mean, you don't know it. I mean, 250,000 years. Evelyn Walker, I said, boy, I said, here's our answer. Boy, she's dressed like $1 million. So she gets up there and says, we got to start out in leadership. We get up there, do the introduction. We're going to work her in there. And she gets up, and she has a note card, and as she goes up, you know, I look at Tracy. I said, does she know she's only doing the introduction, right? So she stands up there and she goes, my name is, and her hand's shaking so bad that she can't read her name. I said, for God's sake, you got to know her name. Can't anybody in Atlanta, Georgia, give me one person that can do a meeting system? In the end, the reason I tell you that is that if I went under that theory, okay, then there wouldn't be no Atlanta today as far as the six. So we got all kinds of leaders. And Joe and Carol, I mean, you've seen their leadership. But you see, we're all bad before we get good. Every stinking one of us.
All right, that answers a lot. One of the things we see out there is there are some leaders out there that welcome new leadership up and coming. There are some that don't want it. And you have, and to be a successful market in that leader in the meeting system, you have to want somebody to keep taking your place. You don't want it. The worst thing that can happen is you're still sitting there, the only one there. Mark has a favorite saying that he doesn't want to be the richest man in the mayor plan. He wants other people to surpass him. That's showing growth. That's showing leadership. And it seems like in Houston there just seems a lot of revolve around new leaders coming up, but how do you choose these new people coming up, and where do they learn about how to do this stuff?
Well, it's before I got something in mind I want to do here about because they do it at the RSD meeting, you know, and a lot of it's individual training, but you got to be willing to train new people, okay? And what we have to deal with in Houston is check ranks. You know, and we got some people. See, we have to let everybody fit where they best fit. You know, and I give you an example on this is Fatima Milton. Fatima, I wish every one of you had Fatima in your market. Fatima Milton does something to a meeting that nobody I've ever seen can do to a meeting. Okay, but from a we put such a hey, it's about closing the meeting, okay, and that's why you got to be careful how you work that in, because all at once Fatima said, well, wait a minute, here's my check, what about me closing the meeting? And I said based on your best interest, Fatima, I am going to let you determine which way that you go. I said, but you do something that nobody else can get by with. I mean, she lights up a crowd, and she's the exception. We all know we take advantage of her talent, and we, you know, all of our other NSDs know you can't get your feelings hurt because you don't have the same leeway that Steve does. I don't have the same leeway she does. Okay, that's just an understanding that we all have. But she was wanting to close and do some other things. I said, but you have to make a shift, because you can't be the person that brings the house down and at the same time be the person that, you know, that is on this serious mode of calling for action for people to change their lives. It just doesn't mix. You just can't have both. And I shared for the best of our meeting, we absolutely knew what, I mean, if we didn't close the meeting, we're better off her doing what she's doing. But she got to make that decision because she earned the right to make that decision, that she wanted to stay in the fun role that she has, okay? But But the one other thing I want to hit, and I'm going to hit on the RSD meeting.
Well, and I got one thing before the RSD meeting, too.
Okay, is that that when we close the meeting, whether no matter who's closed it, and the people that close the meeting are of the strictest accountability. I mean, that is where, because you can't, I mean, you know, you got 50, 60 guests, okay? And in Houston, sometimes more than that. You cannot afford to go off on the deep end or drop the ball on the close. But you got to work people into it because it's a personal growth. You see, we have a flow that whether it's Shelly doing the close or Alan or Tracy or Mark, it doesn't matter who's doing the close, or Wendy, we know that we can sit back there and mimic where they're going. And it happens that way every single meeting. They talk, you know, we talk, there's about five little things that we cover, and the only place for an opening is our example of passion of call to action. And there's and that's only about a minute or 2 minutes leeway, but the flow is the same every single meeting. Every single meeting is like, hey, you know, that one thing we all got in common is we all come from, you know, backgrounds that we might have been underdogs, okay? And we'll tell a story or two maybe, okay? I mean, we will tell a story or two. And then we'll talk about why, because of residual income, and we use Fatima as a quick example. Then we say, how's that happen? It's through a system, okay? Through a system. Where are we at today? Same format as the conference call, if you recognize it. Here's where we're at today. Here's why we're at. Here's where we're going. And then there's a whatever, you know, your special. Each of us have different little impact, but it's only about a minute or two, boom, call to action, because that's got to be from the heart. But that close is so predictable that if you're in that meeting, you're never going to see a alternate close in that meeting. All of us, every single one of us, follow the exact same format, and that's real key to your area. And when you do that, I mean, you'd be surprised that one thing that you do will put more consistency in your meeting, regardless of who's doing it. What if your people can't be there? Have they heard it enough where they could stand up and tell the story? I believe that we could put regional sales directors up front in Houston, and they've heard so much consistency that they could do a pretty fair job on closing the meeting.
Thank you, Mark. You know, one of the things, since I've been with Ameriplan, good night, I don't know how many different meeting systems we've been through. First it was a whiteboard, then it was the slides. Remember the carousel?
Oh, yeah.
Then we started tampering with some videos. And the reason we kept changing from corporate was we heard this. Our brokers aren't coming anymore because they've seen the same thing over and over and over. It's the same old meeting, so they stopped coming. How do you fight that? We try and tell them, Mark, that, hey, this isn't about you, it's about the guests, but, you know, that really doesn't seem to matter a whole lot. How do you fight that same meeting syndrome?
And you create the, you know what, I never hear that in Houston. And the when you create the environment, well, see, the only reason people say that is because, the only reason they're not excited because they don't have guests. I mean, it's the only reason they're not excited. So you're new people, but I got to tell you that sometimes the reason you don't have guests is not because people aren't working. We know of markets where there are people working in them markets, and we're doing numbers in them markets, but nobody's showing up to the meeting. Why? Because they don't have confidence in your system. Your system is too inconsistent for anybody to believe in it. I will send the highest prestigious, if you will, level of prospect into the Houston market and to a meeting without me being there and never even think about it twice. Will you do that? The person you look up to the most, will you take that person and bring them into your meeting system? If the answer is no, then you got the reason why people aren't bringing guests to that meeting, unless they're just not working. But, you know.
Thank you. All right. You know, we talked about where are we finding these people and how are we training them on the, well, you remember, we're training them to believe in a system. They've got to have that belief first. So what venue do you use for that?
Well, one thing that we use very strongly is our RSD meeting system. I mean, we use that thing. We, a bad RSD meeting in Houston just rocks. Okay, I mean, we'll have 8 to 10 brand new RSDs for the month. And what I like to do, I want to give you a start. I want to give you just a taste. If you'll follow me for a second, a taste of what it's like in the first 10 minutes of a regional sales directors meeting in Houston, Texas. And instead of using regional sales directors, what I like to do is, because we always go by, you know, since the last meeting, which in this case would be the last 30 days, okay? So what I like to do is have all NSDs in the last 30 days. Would y'all please come on up?
Last 30 days, all NSDs.
Go follow my lead. All right, come on. All right. Good sir. Good job. Yes, sir. Good job, man. Good job. All right. Great job. Come on over here. All right. Good job, man. All right. Woo! All right. Yeah. Hey, brother. Hey. That's all right. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Go. All right. Yes. Go. Exaggerate, but I guarantee you not one RSD in that Houston market ever receives anything, not 1 minute less than what we just gave them. Not 1 minute. And then they do, right? Sometimes it's way more. We do, our new RSDs experience, I mean, sometimes what we do is we just recognize, sometimes we just don't stop till we get them crying. I'm serious. At the senior level, at a senior promotion, okay, at the senior level and up, we don't cry. We don't stop until it starts getting emotional. We don't stop. I mean, we'll have it senior. Next thing you know, boy, I mean, they just, and then we just tell them, say, you know what? And the RSDs get so embarrassed. And we just tell them, say, you know what? You know, part of what we're doing in this company is we're creating leaders. And at some point in time, We want you to know what it feels like, that your success becomes so humbling and embarrassing to you. We want you to get a taste of what that's like. Because of, you know, because when you have that taste, once you have it, you'll never lose it. And we start painting this picture of what it's like to be so humbled by your accomplishments. And we talk to the RSDs about that. And then when we start moving up from pin levels, I mean, it gets emotional in Houston, Texas. We don't have to train any information when we get through that. We do, but it's all over with.
Did y'all feel it up there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I don't know, Mark.
I don't recognize you.
Brett.
Yes.
I will tell you guys, I mean, this is serious. I drove 300 miles to go to his meeting. I met Steve Luxenberg one day to go to his meeting. Do y'all remember me going? I cried because of the emotion that they shared with those people and the recognition. And I'm telling you, it's 10 times what you just saw.
Well, And the thing is, I'm almost scared I might lose my DSMs because they don't get recognized like that for me. Sorry, guys. I don't have enough wind power yet. But I think there's a big key in this thing.
Yes.
The big key is the meeting system, the way to the detail of how he, you know, put it out with the video and everything else, that's almost secondary to having your group of leaders believe in what they have, get excited about what they have, and make people feel special. You know, that's where I'm seeing this going. And what we see in markets that might be struggling with the meeting system is we have five different leaders with five different ideas of how it should be, and instead of working together, it kind of butts heads. But when you can all believe in the system, everything done in that meeting is because of the system, and the belief is there, and it gets better and better because you're following one thing together and you're believing in that one thing. And I mean, it is incredible in Houston. And guess what? There's nothing special about Houston, the city itself. You know, there's not a reason that Fort Lauderdale can't have that kind of excitement, that kind of that kind of belief in the system, and have the meetings that Houston does. But, you know, I just want to bring that out. And, Mark, I appreciate you for getting up here and doing that. And I don't know if I'm going to have a voice after that. I got to root on my DSMs. 10K, 10K. Oh, sorry. Wait, I just saw Dennis and Daniel come in. I'm going to get in trouble for that. I'm kidding. Yeah. But I'm sorry. I got to tell this real quick story. But Linda was talking to Daniel this morning when he came in, and she said, "My, you look pretty," and he goes, "That's right. I'm going to interview for a job today." Don't leave us, Daniel. Come on, man. The fry guy is not enough for you. But we're, you know, speaking of money, and speaking of recognition. We got some pretty good recognition coming up right now, and to do that is, I got to get my voice ready for this. All right, I got it. The dog father himself, the big dog, Tim Horton!
Yesterday, someone took the coat off. Today, I'll put one on. Okay. Thank
you. You're welcome. As I was sitting here, and you can see my coat here, my heart is pumping, Mark. I got some blood flowing in my system. Now, I was in Houston a couple months ago, and I sat in one of those meetings. And I'm telling you, I know I didn't sit. I jumped out of my chair, and I was there when a senior started crying. I mean, it was something you can't bring back and tell people. You have to see it yourself. And you're not going to get Mark Jarvis in your market to do these meetings. You got to do them yourself. So you develop yourself as the leader, the cheerleader, the person that's running this, the person that's teaching others to do it. You can have the same thing that Houston has, right? You got to step up to the plate. Just step up to the plate and do it. And Mark, I was thinking, we're going to contact Jerry Jones, and we're going to, when you come to Dallas here, we're going to make you the head cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys. See, they need some life in them, or maybe the team. But as I was looking around the room here, I kind of went from row to row, and I looked around here, and I looked at my watch, and it's 3 o'clock. And I'm thinking, there's no other place in America today where they have the power that we have in this room. There's no place that has the leaders that we have in this room. And we call this leaders of tomorrow. It's not potential leaders of tomorrow or maybe leaders. You are leaders right now. And tomorrow is what? It's today. So you are the leaders of today. So when you leave this room today and you take all your notes and all this excitement back with you, you've got to tell other people about it. You've got to build those organizations. You've got to make people feel good about themselves. Brad's always talking about building relationships. That's what the business is all about, building relationships. It's not about you. It's about those people you bring into your organizations. Yesterday, we watched a clip on our speaker for a convention this year, the adventurer, Jamie Clark. And as he was talking in this video, he was talking about dreams and belief systems, wasn't he? And if you're not dreaming, if you don't dream in your business, you're missing out. If you don't help your people dream, you're missing out. Here's what Jamie said. There is nothing more beautiful than a person pursuing their dream. Isn't that true? Nothing more beautiful than a person pursuing that dream. So you've got to believe. Dreams do come true. What's our theme this year? One dream, one team. What is it? One dream, one team. One more time. One dream, one team. Okay, we live in a busy world, don't we? Some of you who have jobs get up in the morning, you get in your car, you hit the freeway, and it's a madhouse. People are cutting you off, you're sitting in traffic, you're going to miss a meeting. All kinds of things are going through your mind. If you're at home with children, you get up, you got to get the children ready, get them to school, daycare, or if they're too little, you have to watch them until you get some free time. So we live in a very, very busy world. So we really don't have time to dream. And when I'm talking about dreaming in our business and in life, what do you dream about in Ameriplan? Maybe it's that house that you see when you go to church on Sunday or when you take your child to daycare. You see that dream house sitting over there, and you say, wow, I'd like to have a house like that. Or maybe it's an automobile. Everybody has said, that's my dream car. I'd love to have that car. Or maybe it's the dream vacation for you and your family, the Disneyland trip on that ship or someplace in Europe. So dreams are out there, and dreams come true. What we're going to do here right now is a little exercise, because I know we don't have time to dream in our busy world. So we're going to do a little exercise right now. And I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that you're on this big cloud. Is that light over there? Can you shut that off, Brent? Okay, you're on this big cloud. It's just you. And you're floating up in the sky, and it's a bright sunny day. Now close your eyes, and you're just dreaming. You have time to dream. You're feeling very relaxed. You're with Ameriplan, and you're thinking, what is my dream? Is it that house on the hill? Is it that luxurious car? Is it sending my children to a private school? Is it sending them to a major university? You're just floating around up in the sky, dreaming, because you know that the vehicle to that dream is Ameriplan. and you're just thinking, how will I get to my dream? You're just floating there, dreaming. Can you visualize your dream? Everybody should have a dream that they're visualizing. Something that is above and beyond. Something that is there, but it's going to take some time and effort to achieve. Okay, I want you to open your eyes now. Everybody have that dream? Did you see something there? You're back. Okay, we're all back. It's very important in this little exercise because we don't get to do this in life very often, because what life is about is like the guy at the circus spinning those plates. You get that first one going, then you get the second one going, then the first one starts to wobble, then you get the third one going, and then they're starting to wobble, so you don't have time to get everything in order. I think I was dreaming I was in the desert. Dreams do come true. I was with Jamie Clark and those camels. Wow. But so you want a dream, and you want your people to dream. So I think that's part of building relationships when you bring people into this business is dreaming. Our theme, one dream, one team. It just goes right hand in hand. And what's going to happen with Ameriplan is they're the vehicle to that dream. So if it's that big house on the hill or an education for your children or the special automobile that you want to get you there, it's going to be Ameriplan. And along the way, good things are going to happen to you. If you come in and your goal is you want to make $1,000 a month, that happens. And after that, you build up steam, you become an RSD, you go to senior, you're on your way. Good things happen because you're getting closer to that dream all the time. Along the way with these dreams, what happens is you start to achieve different levels in this company. And different rewards come in. We saw yesterday, we heard Mark Dixon talk about the ACE program, the CAB program. We heard today about the TP program. So along the way, not only is your income increasing, your builder's bonus, your residual increasing, but you're getting rewards and awards that are coming into place. And about a year and a half ago at convention, we came up with some new awards, and we kind of redone some awards. We came up with the new award called the President's Club, and this is based on achievement. This gives you a chance to be recognized more often at different levels quicker. And so we instituted the builder's bonus residual $25,000, $50,000, $75,000 club. And out here in our museum, there's a nice picture frame with the three pins in it. We have the trophies in there. So when you reach these levels, you get a nice pin to wear. You get a nice trophy and a nice letter from Dennis and Daniel. So today in this room, we've got some first-time achievers in the President's Club. I'd like to recognize them at this time. This is our $25,000 President of Club Achievers. First of all, from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, Kelly Fuller. Kelly, would you please stand? All right, Kelly. Congratulations. All right. On her way to 50, right? Also in the $25,000 club, from Oldsmar, Florida, Rebecca Heil. Rebecca. From Eagle, Idaho, Kurt Wilkins. And from Minneville, Oregon, John Rogers. All right. Give another big round of applause. 25,000K. Now moving up to the 50,000 President's Club. From Crowley, Texas, Aaron Price. All right, Aaron. Congratulations. I'd like to mention one thing about Aaron. Yesterday or today, he stood up for the TPT. So what happens as you're going along in this process, you're going to be in different areas, different clubs, different programs, ACE, TPT, President's Club, Founders Club. So it's exciting to see that. So these are our new President Club achievers. Now, I'm going to recognize if you're an existing President Club, 25,000 President Club member, please stand. Any existing 25,000? Any 50? Any 75? Okay, we got room to grow here. We've got room to grow. Yes, all new people. So when we talk about getting to 100,000 new brokers in the year 2005, one of the key words, new. So it's new. New brokers, what does that mean? New leaders, new RSDs, new seniors, new execs, new senior execs, new nationals, new MVPs. So as this process takes place, the new turns into new everything. So it's going to be an exciting time for us. Now, what we did with the Founders Club, we got a little bit and we added some more levels and we added another part of it called the Signatures Club. In the room right now, we have no new ring achievers, but I'm going to recognize our existing Founders Club ring members at this time. First in the 200,000 Founders Club, please recognize Jerome and Deborah Scott. 200,000. Also in the $200,000 Founders Club ring, Club Joe and Carol Garvey. $400,000, Brad and Amber Murray. $600,000, Dale and Donna Brooks. And $1 million Founders Club members, Mark and Tracy Jarvis. Come to Champions Weekend. You'll see some recognition there with some brand new Founders Club members. Lots of them. We have got rings and plaques that we'll probably have to take our panel truck with us. It's going to be an exciting time. The other part of the Founders Club is what we call the Founders, the Signature Award. And in the Founders Club with the rings, we start at $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. So we go every $100,000 increments. In the Founders Signature Club, we start at $150,000. And that's where we first start with the beautiful Mont Blanc pen. And when you reach $150,000, you get this beautiful pen. And then we go in $100,000 increments. The next is $250,000. Then you get the nice matching Mont Blanc pen or pencil. And we're very fortunate today to have new 250,000 Founders Signature Club members, Jerome and Deborah Scott. All right, let's give them a big round of applause. Woo! All right. Come on up here. Let's hear it. Come on. All right. One more time. Yay! All right, just say a few words.
Well, this is like a dream come true. You sit up, we close eyes, and we dream, you know, and what can you say? Ameriplan has been a vehicle to help us accomplish our dreams, you know. Got the house, got the cars, you know, got the vacations, compliments of Ameriplan. It just, you know, what can you ask for? Well, moments like these mean so much to us to see our associates, our business partners, our friends coming up the ranks, our new folks that's enjoying the same type of lifestyle thanks to Ameriplan. So nothing turns us on more than to see you succeed. And that's why we are having the time of our lives.
Thank you. I just want to thank Dennis and Daniel for putting all this together. You know, we could be a hotel still, even with corporate. You know, so, you know, they had a dream bigger than a dream to put everything together so it can work well. You know, and I've been in the big corporate worlds, and I've seen the customer service areas. And I think Dennis and I were just discussing this yesterday about how they have different departments for this and that in different corporate worlds. I was telling him, you know, somebody even called Ameriplan and said, well, I just want to check it out first. Oh, I heard they had 4 complaints. And I said, 4? Oh, that's great. And then I told Dennis, in Blue Cross, they had a whole department with about, I would say, at least 36 employees to handle the complaints. So, you know, I mean, would you quit because of that? No way. But, you know what I'm saying? We have everything we could dream of, and I just want to thank you guys, Dennis and Daniel, for putting all this together. And leadership conferences like this, like Darcelle and my brokers here, who just appreciate everything that you guys are doing for us, because, you know, you didn't have to do that. And the lunches and the dinners, we're so full, but we thank you. We thank you for everything.
No, I just want to say, we made the decision quite a while ago, and we knew where we were going. But there's no way we would have gotten there this fast if it wasn't for you. This is an infrastructure that's second to none, and it starts from the top. And then it's the generosity of all of our leaders, like having access to you and providing an environment for us to put our leaders together to make us do different things. For you to share all your knowledge and cause and just the whole 9 yards. It's just all of you make it happen. Thank you very much.
Jerome and Deborah Scott, new 250,000 Founder Signature Club members. All right. Well, there's proof right there that dreams do come true, and they never stop in this business. Deborah and Jerome are still climbing and climbing and climbing, and the recognition is always there. Those dreams do come true. I just want to leave you with this. Only dreams believed become achieved. Only dreams believed become achieved. So you got to have a dream to start with, and you got to believe in it. Thank you. You know, thank you, Jim, for doing that, because in the recognition of current President's Club, my heart kind of skipped a beat. I want to explain why. Because nobody stood up. And Brent, why would that excite you? Because the past Leaders of Tomorrow conferences we've had, I mean, sometimes we had to go back and look, okay, I know they've been in for 5 years or 6 years, and we've had to do a lot of that. We truly have new up-and-coming leaders as a whole, across the board. And I know some of you, not many, but some of you have been in quite a while, but you just started the business recently. I mean, I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped, you know, because that's what we're looking for. We're not looking to fill spots here. We're looking to find leaders here. And boy, have we done that. So, thank you, Jim. That was a great eye-opener. One of the luxuries we have at doing the Leaders of Tomorrow, when we do it, is we always kind of precede Champions Weekend. And the luxury is that we have Mark Jarvis here, and he gets to test out his stuff for Champions Weekend. And you get to hear it first before all those other people around there. But I want to tell you something Mark does. And, you know, I respect him for doing this. He doesn't have to do this, but he does this. Whenever he has a seminar he's working on that's going to be in front of y'all, here's what he does. And, Mark, I hope you don't mind me doing this. I'm not going to read everything, but he writes down his outline, and he gives it to me. And he says, this is what I'm doing it on. But that's not why I'm opening this up. I just want to read you the first line of what he put. Brent, I have only delivered this from the heart, but this is a general idea, Mark. What you're going to get comes from here, from this guy. You don't have to wait for Champions Weekend to hear it, but you need to be at Champions Weekend anyway, so don't make this an excuse not to go. Just have to throw that out there, too.
but it's coming right from here. And when he told me what he was going to talk about, good night, 2-3 months ago, I was like, ooh, this is different. This isn't about how am I going to go prospect. This isn't about how I'm going to keep my retention. This is about what's inside you and who you are. And so it's really my great honor to bring back up National Vice President Mark Jarvis.
All right, we've created some animals. Oh, man. Yeah, it really is what we do there. And it's amazing. We talk about how emotional people get during that. And the kind of amazing thing about it is I've been over there just crying like crazy. And I think I'm the one that gets more emotional over what we do with these guys than anything. You know, but it's... You know, Jim was talking about close your eyes and dreaming. You know, and I tell you what, it's just I never felt closing my eyes, and I never felt the dream anymore than I do now. Tracy kept on saying, "You okay?" Because I asked you for some motion, but it's emotional to me because my dream. You know, it is about that feeling that when you see somebody make it. And I was visualizing different people, you know, during that dreaming process, and just what it's like when somebody makes it. There's nothing like it in the world. I was talking with a broker that was struggling with leadership and training people. And, he says, I just don't like, not into really dealing with the people aspect of it. You know? Not Brad. But, and the person is successful, but it's just hard dealing with the people. And I said, as far as, the ups and downs of people, what you go through with somebody in the process of them making it. And I told him, I said, if you ever sit back and feel what it's like when you work for somebody over and over and over, and you just kept them from quitting, and it was such a major deal to keep them from quitting. When they make it, there's nothing like it. I would never in my life forget the day that in Orlando, Florida, when Joe and Carol Garvey got that 100,000 ring. I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I won't forget it. You know, I'll never forget that. And I can just, go over the stories. Why am I so emotional about this company? You know, am I emotional about it's the greatest, opportunity in the world? It's the greatest business decision in the world? No, I'm emotional about it because of what I've seen happen in my friends' lives. That's why I'm emotional about it. I mean, there's nothing that you'll ever experience in your entire life to know that you made a difference. Just to know that you made a difference. And that's why we do what we do. I was talking with somebody... the 2 million is great, but it's really not my passion. I mean, there's not a dollar figure that is my passion in this business. What my passion is about the people. And it didn't start out that way, I can promise you that. I was kind of like the other guy. It was like, this would be a great business if we didn't have any members or brokers, But that's what the passion is about. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about some things about leadership that You know, I don't know that you've heard before, because, you know, in this industry, there's a couple principles that I've taught in this industry, because I've learned it through generic teachings. And you know, you ever find yourself saying things just because you've been in trainings and you've heard it, and you say it, and you never really think about it. And, there's a couple things. One of them was, and I made a shift about 2 years ago, and, you know, and that was, you know, on a couple of these things. One of them was, you know, there's two motivators: fear of loss and the promise of the future. Now, y'all have heard that, right? Now, which is greater? Fear of loss. I mean, I've trained it. We've trained how to create it. And we've trained that forever. And, you know, Shelly Alley is a guy. You always got to have mentors. And I picked Shelly to be a mentor of mine, okay, and just through basically life. And, you know, we were talking, and I was doing this training. You know, and I was, you know, it's easy to talk about. And I said, man, Shelly, I said, you know, I just want to do everything. I want to be in line with principally with what my belief system is. I want to do what, you know, I believe that God's calling me to do. And I said, so here's what, and it sounded good as long as he understood what I wanted it to be. And he brought it to my attention about that fear of loss. As you do with what you want to. I just want to point this out to you. He says, you know, that's kind of against the grain. I said, oh, good grief. We've been in network marketing for 10, 15 years. You know, I kind of get an attitude about it. So, in other words, I wasn't really ready to receive that. But I made that adjustment about 2 years ago. And I thought, what if we make an adjustment here in leadership? Principally make some shifts. And about 2 years ago in Houston, we made sure that we never did do that again. You know, and what I noticed was this, that in the industry, the companies that explode like crazy, and I know there's some great companies that don't, but and then they fall. It's all based on fear of loss, get in now or it's going to be too late. So everybody comes in with confusion. And then, but they don't come in sound. And then they also leave confused, and it goes shh. Now, I've looked at an airplane and how it's been different, and it's been about, you know, hey, encouraging, you know, two-year plan, $100,000 a year. We want to encourage you. We got good news for you. And we made that little shift, and what's happened is we have been more consistent than ever, because we bring people in. They come in sound, they come in solid, and they come in because they're looking to the future, not because they freaked out because they don't want to miss something. Then they eventually realize that you don't miss out on anything unless you don't go to work, okay? And so I just wanted to bring that up. I'm going to talk about leadership today. We've also taught in the past time, I've taught, man, you got to take leadership. You got to take leadership over your group. You ever heard that? I mean, you might have heard me talk about that before. I mean, I have. You see, the thing to start understanding about leadership is leadership can't be taken. It's impossible to take leadership. It can only be received. It can only be received. In my house, I'm the head of my house. I didn't take that headship. Tracy gave it to me. It's the only way it works. If I try to take it, then there becomes all kinds of strife. So I'll relate that to this business. Think about it. We stand in front of an audience, and we talk about, you know, here's what you go do to become a regional sales director. And we give a training in front of hundreds of people. Why don't 100 people go out and become regional sales director in the very next week? When we, you know, we may put together the best presentation that there's ever been. Why doesn't that take place? What? They don't trust. Number one, that as a whole, the speaker and the training system has not, they have not given this system or the individual speaking a leadership role in their life. They haven't given that to them. So we can tell them what to do all day long, but unless they have given that leadership role, they're not going to do what we tell them to do. It don't matter what we tell them. Now, there'll be through accidentally, there'll be some things they do, but for the most part, that's why, because, I mean, you know, you got a little taste of the environment we create in Houston, but we give trainings every single week, exciting meetings about going to regional sales director, but guess what? A majority don't do it because they have not given that leadership role. So how do you get that leadership role? Give you a couple of examples in this company. Is we got people that can speak. In fact, we have people that we've had speak that are incredible speakers, incredible trainers from the front of the room. And then we have people that really, you know, they're not really, you would not consider them to be good speakers. Well, probably because they're not. Okay? And they're not good trainers in front of the room. But time and time and time and time again, we look up, and they are producing leaders in this company. They're and then the buzz is, man, that guy is so lucky. He is so lucky. Man, if they can do it, it must give us all hope. And I know after the day's session about Bay Shop, I know I gave all of you hope, okay? Legitimately so. So, but what makes that person different? What makes it different? And I'm going to, I'm going to talk, for example, about Chuck and Tana Nicholson for a second. Because what makes them so special? You know, is it that we can put them in front of 1,500 people and deliver a message that, I mean, you know, people will pay thousands of dollars to go see? No. In fact, most of the speaking that Chuck and Tana have done at our events have been on panels, and we've had to dig the information out of them because it's not like that their deal is really public speaking. So we're amongst leaders here. I want to talk to you like leaders. I don't want to be careful what I say, okay? So what makes Chuck and Tana so different? They don't, they don't have tools that they haven't mastered a training program. They don't have tools. They don't have websites that are absolutely unique to what they do. In fact, what they do is they'll drive 600 miles to do a PR meeting. I don't know if it is 600 miles? 600? 6 hours. Okay. I mean, I want to make sure we're accurate on this stuff. But so what makes them so special? I know that when Joe and Carol were going for MVP and Dennis and I pick up the phone and I called Dennis and I said, hey, you know, what are you doing? He was on his way somewhere. I said, can I borrow you for a few minutes? We picked up the phone and we start calling. Hey, if it's their phone, you don't hear it. See, I wasn't even going to act like I heard that. There are things that you learn in this business. You don't hear their cell phone go off in a minute. Okay? But what makes them so unique is that we get on the phone, we start talking to people. I know I've had conversations with their brokers that are going for it, and I said, what is it that drives? Well, you know what? Man, Chuck and Tan have been so good to us. They have been so good to us that part of their motivation is about the relationship that they have and the leadership role that they have given them in their business. You see, and we see it happen time and time again where people that don't speak are just phenomenal leadership develop people. So what makes them different? I'll tell you what makes them different is the people give them a leadership role in their life. So wouldn't you want to know if that's the case, how do you go about getting a leadership role in somebody's life? How do you go about getting that? Because until you have it, nothing's going to matter on what you say. You know the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You might have heard it from 1,000 different people. There's nothing more truer. Tracy and I were trying to figure out what percentage of what we do is on the caring side and what percentage is on the knowledge side. And, I mean, it's probably 90%. 90% as far as the caring side of this business. If you do a good job on that, then you only got to tell them a time or two because you've got a leadership role in their life. So, you know, how do you get that? You get it through trust. How do you get, you know, how do you obtain somebody's trust? And trust, you know, can happen at different times. For some people, it may happen just overnight. Other people, it will take a while. I believe that's why you see such a variable on people moving up the pin levels when they're recruited by different leaders. You know, I'll use Brad as an example. We have been best friends. It was very, you know, it was very easy. Our relationship part was already there. You see, how do you do it? Through trust. Now, there's probably several things, but there's a couple things about trust that you should know. Trust is part of them believing that you know what you're talking about. You know, how can you give them that level of trust? One of them is to make sure you're consistent with what you're plugged into. What you're saying is consistent with what's going on. Because that edifies you in the department of knowing what you're talking about. If what you're having people do, they hear it over and over from, you know, higher income levels, then that is going to help you on the trust factor. The other thing is people have to know that there's not a hidden agenda. In other words, they got to know that you have their best interest at heart. And I'll give you an example because this happened to me recently. We had a broker that came in the office and, you know, I'm talking to them. They're pretty new, you know, brand new brokers. And, you know, they come in, very sharp-looking couple. And they come in, they sit down, and they start talking about what it is, what their plan of action is, bless you, what they're going to do. And it involved going full-time, okay? It involved, quitting the job. It involved, them getting after it and giving it everything they had for 60 days. And as I listened to it, I sit back in my chair, and I let them talk. And then I started explaining to them kind of what I'm thinking, okay? Because I want you to know that this leadership stuff starts when you're recruiting a broker. It doesn't start with an organization. The process of it starts instantly. So I'm sitting there talking to them, and, I've got to say, and I want you to think about this, that whatever it is that you're thinking about is your maximum potential. Whatever it is that you're thinking about is your maximum potential. A couple of examples before we move on to this broker is that before I came into Ameriplan, most of my life, I thought about getting through the month. Financially. I mean, that's just basically the way I thought and the way I lived. Guess what my maximum potential was each and every month? I would just get through the month. I met Dennis and Daniel. They started talking to me about, you know, a couple $100,000 a year. The only people I ever met that talked to me about thinking about $100,000 a year. I changed what I thought about. My maximum potential now went from just getting through the month to $100,000 a year at that time. I just changed my life by one thing that happened at the 6-week mark in this business is I changed my life. How? I changed what I was thinking about. So my maximum potential became what I thought about. Now, I want to relate that into, as you're building your business, I want you to relate it to that when you're recruiting a broker, what is it that you're thinking about? When you're working with your team, think about that for a second. What are you thinking about? You see, are you thinking about signing somebody up? Are you thinking about signing somebody up, or are you thinking about that they're the next Roger Campbell story, or the Roger Kamen story, or the Steve Luxenberg story, you know, the Dale Brooks story, the Brad Murray story, the Garvey story? What are you thinking about while you're talking to this person? You see, if you're thinking about signing them up, your maximum potential becomes signing up a broker. That's your maximum potential. Now, there's always little flukes in the system. But I can tell you principally that most of the time that what you will accomplish is whatever it is you're thinking about. So I'm talking to this broker, and I said, let me explain to you kind of, you're thinking one thing, and let me talk to you about, you know, and I'm thinking another thing. I said, so let's just kind of put on the table here what we're each thinking about. I said, what I'm thinking about is as you're talking, and I can't help myself, but I'm thinking about in the next 2 years, if you're, you know, that I'm thinking about you being the type of leader that I'm looking for in this company. The kind of leader that is an example that the people that come in 2 years from today is going to be an encouragement. It's going to give people hope 2 years from today. The brand new person that comes in 2 years from today, I'm looking and I'm thinking you're exactly the type of person that we're looking for that 2 years from today is going to make a difference. So that everything that we're going, you know, everything that we do, I'm very protective of that two-year plan. Now, I know you've got things on your mind like, what are we going to make this month? I said, you know, and I got to talking. I said, there's going to be a point in time, and I'm just having this conversation. There's going to be a point in time that, you know, that you'll give me a leadership role in your business, a leadership role. I can't take it. But there's a point in time where you'll give it to me. And they're just sitting there, you know, I said, you know, now how's that going to happen? It's going to happen if there's a trust factor involved. You see, when you start grasping this principle right here, then you'll instantly start having more patience with people through this process. You see, and I'm slowing down, I'm talking to them about when they give that leadership role, okay, then the things that we tell them to do, then they'll go do it. And I said, you know, and I know that doesn't happen overnight. It comes through trust. I wouldn't even ask you for trust. That's something that you're going to have to search your heart, and that's just something that has to be developed. But I said, you know, one of the things that you'll come to understand is that my best interest is absolutely in your best interest, and there is no hidden agendas. There's no hidden agendas. And, you know, when the brokers left, they were a little bit disappointed. They were a little bit disappointed because they had this great game plan over the next 60 days. You see, but it had to come to their mind that why would I not milk them for the next 60 days? Why would I want them to accomplish a pin level before that happened? And that was, I think, on a Monday or Tuesday. Well, then on Friday, I got the message. Hey, we've been talking about it. And, you know, we just want you to know that we're ready to go. We trust what you're having us do, and we're going to do what you tell us to do. And they became a Fast Track Regional Sales Director. You see, but now we have a trust factor involved. They know that I'm not trying to manipulate anything and everything out of them, that I'm looking at the big picture. You see, I instantly, when I seen this couple, what I was thinking about was a leader that is going to make a difference. I've got this vision in this company, you know, this vision that obviously, like with Dennis and Daniel, of 100,000 brokers this year, but I got this vision of us developing a leader support team within this company that is humble, that is attractive to people, that doesn't get arrogant in their success at a certain level, and then that's where companies always stop dead in the tracks and everything fall apart. See, I've got this vision of developing humble leaders and people that we only not make a difference in their income, but we start making a difference in their life, and we start making them rich by understanding what it's like to empower other people. You see, do you have the power to empower somebody? You see, you absolutely do. You see, once they give you that role, you start having that power. And the way you do that is by you encouraging them and you start taking them to new levels. You start painting them a picture all the time of where they can go. Now, how do you get to that trust part? You get it through environment and relationship. You see, when you've got a leadership role in somebody's life, then you can absolutely, correction is not something that you have to sit around and figure out how to tell somebody. Correction is not something that you have to try to manipulate through an email or some type of idea of how am I going to get this across. You see, when we have a free-flowing relationship, then we can absolutely talk, and you know where my heart is on, you know, about your future and where you're at. You know that the big picture is involved. And that's one of the things that we do in that Houston market, is that we, you know, I think we do a great job of creating an environment where it's not about now who brought you, whose are you. You see, we have leaders upon leaders upon leaders that know they don't have somebody coming to the meeting, but they work the room. Man, we're so glad to have you here. We're so glad to have you. What happens is that we create an environment that anybody with any common sense knows that these people are coming up and they're loving on me, they're caring for me, they're encouraging me, and there's no way that all these people can have a vested interest in my $35. So, there's absolutely no way. So, you know, how do you do that? You know, how do you lead that way? One of the ways that the best ways that I know to lead people is that you have to lead by following. You have to lead from under authority. You see, you've never heard a conference call, okay? Or you've never heard a training where we said, hey, man, I got a system in place that if you'll follow my system, you'll be successful. Have you ever heard them words? No, you haven't. Because the words that you hear, so you may think you hear the words, but here's what you hear. Is, hey, I follow the system. These guys are out here laid out for me. And it worked for me. And I'll show you how to follow the same thing that I follow. You see, I want to always lead from underneath. Well, let's give you a visual here. Is that, you know, the biggest reason for stopping growth in this company is that when we try to lead to us, if we're not going to do this, but if each role separately turned around, you know, leading to me, if this role turned around and one role at a time, we all looked back, okay, and we get to the last row, there's nobody following. You see, it all stops. It gets very shallow. So, you know, I know that principally. That's why principally I will not do a talk. Without having Brent a copy, and I had one for Dennis, or having Dennis a copy. I will not enter into the stage, okay, unless they just call me up, okay, and if it's unknown. I will not go on that stage without making sure that I'm under the authority of the leadership of this company. And it's not, it's not that Brent doesn't say, hey, go do what you want. I insist on coming under the authority because You know, he is, as far as I'm concerned, Brent and Jim and the DSMs, are, as far as I'm concerned, they are Dennis and Daniel. They represent Dennis and Daniel. So I always want to make sure that I come under the authority of the leadership. And principally, when you do that, you're going to be amazed. When you start following with a great attitude, you're going to be amazed at how easy it is to lead, because you're not leading to yourself. I've seen it happen over and over, and we've watched this, and we've actually, you know, we've actually kind of had people do this as an example, to where, you know, if you'll say, hey, let me tell you what I'm following. Come here, I want to show you. And when they do that, see, everybody wants to go be involved. But because of egos, and what people go through, it's tough sometimes. We, you know, the personalities that we attract in this business, don't we attract a lot of people that are pretty strong-headed about, you know, having the answer? In this room, I would say that the majority of this room, if we sit down, could sit down and absolutely carry on a conversation about how awesome that we are, right? All of us could. Man, I tell you what, here's what I do. Let me tell you what I do. Okay? I mean, we all do that, right? I do this, and I do that. Because what we think, I mean, we believe in what we do. Okay? So the natural tendency is to start finding people to lead to us. But I can tell you, see, each of you have got leaders that you work with in your markets, or you work with, that brought you in the business. I want to encourage you, when you get back, to be a better follower. Start showing your people how to follow. You see, we train on leadership, but if everybody leads, where do we train on how to follow? Who's going to follow? The way to do that is by example. Give you an example is through this meeting, there's all kinds of things that come out about how we do the business and stuff like that. I'm amazed at how off track we get on the details. I mean, it's and the internet thing has really got, is always causes emotion. You know, and it's it always does, and it's like, man, if you're not using the internet, get over it. The internet is a big time tool for this business. If you're using the internet, quit trying to justify using it. Just use them. They're all tools. One thing that I've learned is this, is principles, okay, the principles of what you build with are far more important with the tools that you build with. See, the consistency of what you do is the issue, not how you find the people. So, you know, and I get, asked sometimes, you know, and it came up, I guess, this morning, Lester. Lester said, man, he goes, boy, you're passionate about this $35 program, right? Man, you're passionate about that thing. I said, yeah. Made a decision to. And I said, but I want you to understand something. We were down there working out. I thought I'd throw that in there. Okay. You see, I was talking with him. I said, see, what you have to understand is this, is I've made a decision. Okay. I've made a decision that I trust the leadership of this company. I've just made that decision. I've been around for 12 years now. Why did I do that? I don't know that I didn't do it in the beginning, but because it took a process. It took me giving Dennis and Daniel leadership over my life. I had to give them that role. They didn't take it. I had to give it to them. So that when we go into a huddle, and with Brent and DSNs, we go into a huddle, and they ask for input, and we talk about input, when we break the huddle, I believe in what we're doing. Lester said, oh, so you never let anybody know that you, you know, so you wouldn't let nobody know that if you didn't believe. I says, no, you're missing it. I believe in what we're doing. I trust it. They have taken me in places that I never dreamed I could go. See, I trust the big picture of the leadership of this company more than I trust my own opinion. I trust it. So that when we break huddle, and I know they trust me, that when we break huddle, that we are all on the same team. That we are there, that we are working in one accord. And that's why the details of the details of the details. If you're new in this company, I don't expect you to, you don't have to give it. But if you'll stay plugged in, if you'll stay plugged into what we're doing and get to know this company, you too. Does that mean that, you know, if on March the 30th or whatever, or March whatever day it is, the 35th, if it is 187, when we break huddle, see, there's one thing I always do is that when we break huddle, I always pray for wisdom. I say, give me the wisdom. Give me the wisdom of understanding to know that what we're doing is the right thing where I can communicate it. And you know what? It always comes. Because, see, I'm all involved in the motion. Well, I was talking with the broker, and he didn't because. But, you see, I've got to trust that they've got the big picture involved. You know, I was talking with Al last night. And there's something I think, you know, some of you may not understand. I mean, you probably do. But it's about leading to a bigger cause. Leading to something bigger than yourself. You see, what happens is if you're running your team, then the only place they can look is to you. How big can you get by you running your own team? You can't get very big. I'm going to tell you how that we made $1 million a year. Is that as we brought leaders in, what we did is we locked them in emotionally that they were a key leader in this company, just like each and every one of you now feel more of a position of leadership than you ever have. That's how we got to $1 million a year, because it wasn't about me. It was about I got emotionally attached to the bigger cause, to Ameriplan. If you look at the $100,000 earners in the early days when it started, I remember one of the first things that I ever did when I left Austin is I called a meeting for Dennis to come down there, and we got a group of people together. And I said, hey, I said, you guys are better leaders than I am. I'm following him, and, you know, basically, I just want to call this meeting because now you're going to be working directly with him because he considers you to be the leaders. And basically, I basically excused myself from that mix. And they got emotionally attached to the building of this company. And I did it over and over and over. Is I got the Garveys and Brad, you know, and Mike McDonald, and at that time, you know, Ed Wooten and Jim Vorath. And I got these people, and Frank, well, they were all leaders themselves into the company. And the way that you can do that is obviously you can do that by following a system, by leading to Champions Weekend, and leading to something that's bigger than yourself. See, if you think you can actually train your team, if you think you can train your team yourself and them see the big picture, they're only going to see you. And I share it with Al. I said, I make $1 million a year. The reason that I can't accomplish me painting a picture consistently with somebody that I'm working with is they get used to me. They get used to this picture. Okay? They get where I can't affect them anymore. So I got to make sure that I've got them attached to the bigger picture. If they're attached to the bigger picture, they're never going to get used to Dennis and Daniel and Ameriplan's big vision. Because, you know, as you're not, see, they can get close enough to see it, but they're not going to get so close to it that they're used to it. They're going to get used to me. You see, to me, what leadership is about reaching down and getting into somebody's life. Part of that is about being authentic. People knowing that you're real. I was on the phone, who was it? Oren, where you at? Can I share our conversation? Okay. I was on the phone with Oren, and he says, you know, he goes, just like many of you, he says, you know, business is, you know, I'm kind of surprised I got invited. Any of you feel that way? He says, I'm kind of surprised at where I'm at. I got invited to this meeting. And he was sharing with me kind of some of the struggles going on. And I got to thinking for a little bit. I said, Oren, do you know my story? Do you know my story? He said, well, yeah, you got in it, just took off. You worked hard. You did the right things. Oren, do you know that I quit? Did you ever know that? Did you know that I quit because it was too hard? That it was too hard for me, so I quit. You see, I got in and I worked for a couple months. And it wasn't happening fast enough. And the bills were coming in. And all at once, it wasn't fun anymore. I was full-time for 2 months, and I had to quit. And I quit, and I had a bad attitude. See, I quit. Did you know that? That's Todd's. We can hear his.
Hold on,
Dave. I said, Oren, did you know that? And he goes, no, I didn't know that. I said, I did. I quit. It was hard for me. This wasn't easy. It was hard. I said, Mike, everybody, did you know that Mike, okay, had some success in this business, and then at one time, we spent days trying to determine whether or not he could go on, because he's wanting to quit. Is that right? I mean, y'all know that. We talked to him. You see, it's time. You got to be authentic. You got to be who you are with people. So I almost quit. So did he. Did you know that Joe and Carol just almost quit? Did you know that? And I was talking to Kelly on the way up here as I was driving in on Wednesday. I said, did you know the hardest thing that you ever do in this business? The hardest thing that I ever do in this business is keep somebody in. It's the hardest thing. It was the hardest thing for Dennis and Daniel to do, was to keep me in the game, because it was hard. I don't know anything about doing this business. It's hard. And Joe and Carol, that's why when they went across the stage, in Orlando, that the times that we spent together, and you know, there was a time when Joe couldn't, you know, just didn't think he could go on, and he was, you know, he was selling sunrooms on the side. He was doing stuff on the side, and he wasn't telling me when we were going through our struggles together. You know, it was hard to keep the Garveys in this business. It was hard trying to tell them that it would work out. I said, I promise you it'll work out if you'll stay with me. Just stay with me, I promise you, it will work out. I'll dedicate my life to you. And You know, Joe and I went through a time that where it was tough because I had to tell, you know, we were working together, and I had to tell Joe no on a couple of things. And it was the hardest thing I ever did. There was a particular time that I had to tell Joe no. And I started crying after he left. I was tough on him, but I had to tell him no because I had to love him enough to know what I believe was best to keep him, to get him to personally grow in this business. Alan and Leanne Masters. I talked to Alan and Leanne Masters a couple of years ago. It was funny. I came out of the father seminar, and the only person I could think of, other than my dad, was Alan. I thought, man, you know, I couldn't get Alan off of my mind. And I got into the parking lot, and I thought, man. And they had been down to Houston, and I started a car, and I looked up, and on the phone was Alan Masters. And I started talking to him about moving to Houston. I said, I want to get involved in your life. And he said, well, if I move there, can you guarantee me that this will happen to my business? I said, Alan, I have no way of guaranteeing that my check will raise a dollar. And I can't do it to yours. But I'll guarantee you this thing. The only promise that I'll give you is I will dedicate my life to you and Leanne. I'll give you my life if you'll come. And Alan had struggled with, and Leanne about making it. And they get so upset. And they get mad, and then, you know, they get discouraged because then they lose their cool. And that was one of the things they had to learn is to not lose their cool. And then it would get them down, and it was about encouraging them, hey, let's get back up. And, you know, they didn't want to come to a convention because they didn't feel like winners. It was about staying with them and staying with them and staying with them. And then seeing them just overnight bust up to $200,000 a year. You see, that's my dream and that's my passion, is for you to understand how it will affect your life. But with leadership comes responsibility. See, if you give me a leadership role in your life, then you are responsible to me. Okay? But the flip side of that is that I am responsible for you. You see, Dennis and Daniel, that I've given them leadership in my life, and you have too. So I'm responsible to Dennis and Daniel in this company, Ameriplan. But they are responsible for me. They are responsible for you. You see, if you ever understand what it's like to reach into somebody's life, see, I understand that leadership cannot be taken. It can never be taken. The only thing that happens with leadership taken is strife and confusion and resentment. And what you have to do is you have to be a pillar of strength as an example on what you follow. People will follow you based on what you follow. But you can never take it. You have to earn it from each and every person. And when you understand that, then you can have a little patience when somebody doesn't do everything that you ask them to do. That you can recognize that the reason they're not doing this is we haven't developed a position where they've given me a leadership role. So you can start having a little patience. See, if somebody's not going out and going RSD tomorrow, and they're not doing what I'm calling them, telling them they ought to go do, I don't get all, well, you deadbeat. I'm just saying, okay, it's a new challenge. I'm serious. Because you know what? I used to say that. But it's a new challenge. It's like, hey, what do I need to do? I need to fellowship more. I need to get them plugged into conference calls. I need them to get around to see what's going on so they'll have a good understanding of what's happening. You see, leadership is not what you think. It's not being bold and outspoken and trying to bully your way into something. Leadership is an example of how you live and what you follow. And when you live that way, and in the marriage plan, when you are the example by you doing personal production, you never do anything you never ask anything of your team that you won't do yourself. So I've got this vision of Ameriplan having 100,000 members. And I've got this vision of a leadership team of 100,000 brokers. And I've got this vision of a leadership development team that of people that will reach down and get involved. See, we can't care for all 100,000. We need 2,000 people to make $100,000 a year to go to $1 billion. Will you take the responsibility and care about somebody and show them by example how to do this business? We can't train them corporately, from a big stage. Will you make a commitment and do that? Will you follow and say, hey, I'm going to follow what is working? Come to Champions Weekend and understand that at Champions Weekend, they're going to learn principles that doesn't apply to just, work in this business with a large organization, that when they can recruit their first broker from a position of leadership, they're going to know how to become successful in this business because they'll learn how to get into people's life. Can you get involved? Can you get involved with us and do that and build 100,000 brokers this year? So I'm excited about what we're going to do at Champions Weekend. I'm excited about your future in this company. I just want to encourage each and every one of you that there's not one thing that we won't do. If you're going to be, it don't matter who you are, what group you're in, but if you're willing to make a difference, we'll get involved with you. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter organization, don't matter what your check level is, it don't matter what your pin level is, if you'll make a commitment to make a difference in this great company, then we'll get involved with you. Thank you. God bless.
Give it up for Mark. Wow. Okay. Okay. Wow. Again. It really is. It's a treat for y'all to be able to hear that before February 9th. And, I was kind of following Mark, and, with the exception of me having to run and get him water, sorry, Mark, I had to do that, he didn't look at this. He looked at this. And that's when, and I've known you for a while, you are at your best when you look at this and not at this. And you did that today. So thank you very much. Give it up for him. That's something special. And, we hope, for kind of a last seminar of the day, we wanted big things for you. You are our future in this company, and I thank you, Mark, for delivering on that. And, but there's a couple other gentlemen who words don't express what they mean, what they're feeling right now for y'all even being here. See, again, and I don't know how many times we can say this, but I've heard from y'all, hey, thank you for having me here.
you know, it humbles me. No. No. Those two guys are humbled and are thankful that you made the commitment to be here. The DSMs, Barry, myself, we are humbled and thankful that you guys are here. But, you know, I can say that all day long, but nobody can say it like Dennis and Daniel. So why don't we get Dennis and Daniel Bloom up here?
Okay. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Great. I tell you what, when, you know, Daniel, I had a meeting out that we had to go to, and let me tell you, the meeting that we went to wasn't nothing like this one. It was rather dull. What Daniel and I's job is now is to kind of wrap up the last 2 days for you. And as I was sitting over there and thinking about, what is the message? It's very difficult, I'll be quite frank with you, for me to write things down. I am not a writer, okay? And it's difficult for me to think well in advance of what I'm going to say. Mark is an absolutely phenomenal speaker, and he can write things down and follow the outline. It's difficult for me to do because I have to think what is the message and try to deliver that message to you. And as I was sitting there, I got to thinking that the message is how important you are. The message is, do you believe that you're important? That's the message. You see, our theme for 05 is one dream, one team, with one goal, to recruit 100,000 new brokers in 2005. But let me tell you, that will not happen unless you believe that you are important and you will make it happen. You know, it's very easy to mouth, you know, just to say things. And I got to tell you about my phone, okay? To be in Ameriplan, this is a brand new phone, and I just can't figure out how to turn the damn thing off. I just can't do it. That's right. If Taylor were here, I'd say, Taylor, turn this thing off. You know, so but I just, does anybody know how to turn off a Motorola phone? I really would appreciate that. Well, I guess that's one way to do it. But listen, I want to tell you that Brent said it right, that the pleasure is not you being here for you. The pleasure is ours to have you here. You know, you're here for a very special reason. You see, I truly believe that I believe in what I call universal principles, but they're really biblical principles, okay? I call them universal because I don't want to, you know, get, you know, too wrapped up in it. But you know, I truly believe that there is a design and a purpose for everything that happens to us in this life. That we were put here, not out of an accident. That we were put here for a purpose. And that everything that you have ever done in your life has led to this moment in your life. Okay? You're here because you're supposed to be here. You know, I know that some of you may think of, you know, gee, why did they invite me? Well, let me tell you why we invited you. Because the entire universe moved to allow it to happen. You see, everything moved to allow it to happen. You're supposed to be here. And what you do with the information that you have received over the last 2 days is dependent upon how you received it and what you intend to do with it. Now, we have very high hopes for each and every one of you. We know that you have the capability to achieve anything that you want to achieve. You all have it within you. You are all children. You all have the innate intelligence and everything that it takes. The only thing that you may not have is the recognition that you do have it. You know, one of the most interesting things Mark brought out in his talk, and it's interesting from the standpoint that what he told you was true, is that every successful person that I can think of in Ameriplan at one time in their life either considered quitting this business or did quit this business. You know, it's really interesting to me, and I get really upset. I don't verbalize it, but I hear it a lot, and it upsets me that, hey, become a broker in this business because it's easy to make money. Boy, this is an easy business. Yes, sir. Let me tell you what. This is not an easy business. It's not. It's not easy to make $100,000 a year. It's not easy to make $200 or $300 or $400 or $500. But let me tell you what. The rewards, as Mark has said many times, is 10 times or even 100 times greater than you can ever imagine. When you can grab a hold of your life and become the master of your life, when you can determine what you want to be and you believe it, that's when you've made the corner. And that's really the purpose of this leadership meeting, is to help you understand that you are important, to help you believe that you can achieve it. And if we have only done this much of it, we have accomplished one of our goals. We do appreciate you so much. You have no idea how much we do appreciate you. You really don't. You know, you have no idea how often Daniel and I talk about you. We may not get the opportunity to pick up the phone and call you, but let me tell you what. We do know each and every one of you. We do look at your lives. We do have hopes and desires for each and every one of you. Each one of you are important to us, and we want you to achieve everything that you want to achieve. And that's the reason that we bring you here, is to let you know how important you are. Daniel, do you have any comments?
When we walked in and sat down, Mark was talking about what they do in Houston. And the thought crossed my mind, you know, what they do in Houston is create an environment of success. They didn't let success create the environment. They created the environment of success. So if your recruiter's not real great, why don't you try creating an environment of success? Okay? And it will. You know, I was also thinking that nearly everybody lives in the world of the someday. You know, someday I'm going to take that family on vacation, I promise. Someday I'm going to get a better job. Someday I'm going to lose some weight. You know, someday. You know, but you know what? For a few people, and a few people in this room, their someday is their everyday. And that's what Dennis and I want for you. We will see each and every one of you at the top. Thank you.
Great. Thank y'all very much.
Hey, I wish I could tell Dennis and Daniel right now that they're still standing for y'all out there. You wonder what... Come on back in. Come on back in.
$1 billion. Let me tell you, I got one more piece of advice for you before you leave. Don't ever take any advice from somebody more screwed up than you are.
Okay, just so you can put in your notes, there will be a national conference called Wednesday night, this next Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on which line? There we go. Okay, so that's this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Right. Right. Okay, we're about to break here and go back to the hotel, but... sometimes you guys don't get to see what we see every day at the office. You want to know why we work for this great company? There's two examples over there. And that's why we do it. Let's get on. They care. If that's all you have to know, they care. All right. It's been a big day today. Let's get all dressed up tonight. Oh, uh-oh. The boss is calling over here. Oh, yes. Okay, all right. Don't forget your survey, your directory stuff. Get those to the DSMs or EAs or, you know what, let's just bring them all to Connie and make her life really bad. Yeah, put them on the table right up here, and then the buses will not be here for... They'll be here in a little bit, so just... mingle around and get loosened up, and we're going to have a big night tonight. The photo op with Dennis and Daniel starts at 6:30 down where we had the reception the other night. Okay, that's 6:30 for the photo op. 7 o'clock, it's kind of cocktails and stuff, and then 7:30 the dinner starts. So thank you guys very much for being patient. Oh, please wear your ID badge. Hold on, here, Connie.
Please wear your ID badges tonight because we have other corporate staff that you guys haven't met. They haven't met you, so they'll be sitting at your tables tonight. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Connie. This is perfect right here. All right.
One dream, one theme, baby. I'm